Every time we go into a problem, we try to get a perspective from all audiences. That includes the C-level executives. It includes senior leadership, but most importantly, people in the field. So we talk to users of that particular problem. And what we have found is that when you have that 360-degree view of a problem, it gives us better insights into all the nuances of an issue and how best to solve it.
From McKinsey & Company, I'm Sean Brown, and welcome to Inside the Strategy Room. That was Sarjit Joseph, the Chief Innovation Officer at the American Red Cross. In today's episode, Sarjit speaks with our senior partner, Eric Roth, about the institution's continuing innovation journey. Sarjit and Eric discuss how the 142-year-old Red Cross is harnessing the power of technology, AI, and data to deliver more effectively on its longstanding humanitarian mission with greater speed. And a quick reminder, today's episode is part of our ongoing Committed Innovator series of conversations with innovation leaders around the world. You can find other episodes in the series via the link in today's show notes and by searching for McKinsey's Committed Innovator in your favorite podcast player. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Now here's Eric.
Sarjit, welcome to the program and really looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So let's start off. Most people probably are familiar, I think, with the American Red Cross, but can you remind us very briefly of its mission and breadth of services that it offers today?
Most people think of the American Red Cross in the things which they have interacted with in the past. It could be getting life-saving blood or getting lifeguard training, but we do a lot of different things. So the Red Cross has five mission areas. Our largest is blood services, where we provide 40% of the nation's blood supply. Then we also provide relief to people who are affected by disasters, both big disasters like wildfires and hurricanes, but also the small disasters which affect people like you and me, which is a home fire or a multifamily fire, things like that. We also provide training services for life-saving training, so education on CPR training, first aid training, lifeguard training. We also provide 24/7 communication between military families and people who are deployed. And then we work with our international partners and help Red Cross societies who are in need for aid or other assistance.
So most of us probably, as you said, have interacted with the Red Cross in some fashion over the years. To an objective outside observer, it may not be obvious how the Red Cross has innovated. What's changed and what are you doing to not only define innovation at the Red Cross, but help stimulate it?
We are a 142-year-old organization. We've been doing things in a certain way for many, many years. And 6 years ago, our CEO realized that there is a need for change in the way we look at how we deliver our mission, particularly on how we can use technology and data. That's how this whole function got created. Since then, we've been looking at how technology could be used as a tip of the spear to drive large-scale transformation and help us deliver the mission more effectively.
If we think about the different services that you offer, where would we see the most innovation happening? What is it that you are trying to solve for, and where would it appear in the array of things that you do?
So we've been looking at it across the broad spectrum. And that's the interesting thing about the American Red Cross is we have so many different type of businesses or ways by which we go to market to serve the community. And we've been looking at how technology could be used in all those different dimensions. They all operate differently. Regulatory constraints are different in all those areas. We started off with doing a lot of work in our blood services area. It's the largest part of the American Red Cross, and we've been particularly using AI for changing the way we deliver blood and collect blood and the whole end-to-end life cycle. So that's one area where we've done a lot of transformation work, but we're continuing to do transformation in other areas at the Red Cross as well.
What's the definition of innovation for the Red Cross?
The way we have sliced it is using technology and data to be able to deliver our mission more effectively. It's a very interesting question because for an organization like the American Red Cross, where we are in the business of helping people, right? At the end of the day, our mission is to help people who are affected by emergencies. There are no constraints on how innovation could be used. And that's the way we've been looking at it, is how can we, in changing times, how do we deliver help to people and how can we use technology to do that more effectively?
So in an organization that's over 140 years old, where technology may not be at the centerpiece because of its mission-driven purpose, how do you educate people on what technologies are relevant and what's the process by which you start to embed them, the new ones, the different ones, the AIs, et cetera?
It's a great question. We actually did not start with the technology at all. at the end of the day, we are using technology to solve a mission problem or a business problem. So we start with a problem. Incidentally, we spend a lot of time with problem definition and trying to go deeper into what problem are we trying to solve, all dimensions of that problem. And then we look at what is the right technology to solving that problem. So things become a little bit more easier when you start looking at it from that lens. And that's how we go about it.
So I love the way you say that, because one thing we talk a lot about is, you know, innovation at the end of the day is a valuable problem to solve, a solution enabled by a technology, and effectively a business model allows it to scale. So what you're talking about is, you know, you actually spend a lot more time on that first bucket, which is what are these problems? And when we talk to other organizations, one of the challenges they have is, at what level do you define a problem? So for the American Red Cross, if you think about maybe an example of a problem you're working on or you have worked on in the past, what is the right altitude for a valuable problem to solve within your context?
I found that it's all levels, because every time we go into a problem, we try to get a perspective from all audiences. That includes the C-level executives. It includes senior leadership, but most importantly, people in the field. So we talk to users of that particular problem. And what we have found is that when you have that 360-degree view of a problem, it gives us better insights into all the nuances of an issue and how best to solve it.
How many problems are you working on at any given time, roughly?
So we're looking at around 12 problems which we'll be actually solving, and there'll be another bunch of things which we are identifying and exploring. Since we are sort of like a crossbreed between a management consulting firm and a tech startup within the organization, the tech startup hat, which is doing 12 projects at any given point of time, and the management consulting hat, which is looking at opportunities and having conversations all the time.
How do you choose which problems to solve and which to put aside? So if you've got your 12 and perhaps a broader set of considerations, what's the decision-making process that gets you down to the 12? So many organizations struggle with, is the problem too big? Is it too small? Is it too hard? Too easy? What's the heuristic or the process you use to decide?
It's purely based on impact. So we try to figure out a way to quantify impact, and we make sure that we are working on problems which have the highest impact. So that's the way we've been looking at it. If it's a problem which has a financial impact, then it'll be an ROI-based impact. But in many projects which we look at, it is not an ROI-based impact, but it will be something which we have coined as a return on mission. And so we look at what is that impact. And to be candid, we say no more often than yes, because we are very particular that we are working on projects which have the most impact for the organization.
What would be an example of a return on mission type project if you're able to share?
Yeah, absolutely. The American Red Cross provides help for people who are affected by disasters. Now, we do that by providing shelters for people who have lost their homes, who need a place to stay. We provide food and all those things associated with that. Now, to manage all those shelters, in the past, we used to do all of that manually. There was paperwork, so we used to register clients manually. Tracking all of that became a nightmare. Having a good shelter client experience was also not efficient. What we did was we automated that whole process. So last year, we launched a new solution, which we call Shelter Client Management Tools, which allows us to be able to easily use digital tools to onboard a client, to be able to manage the shelter more effectively, get a lot of insight into how to manage it. And our operations have become a lot more smoother as part of that. We've been able to scale up more effectively. Our experience of our shelter clients have become a lot more effective as well. So, and we've been able to partner with government agencies and other partners to be able to provide better services to our shelter clients. So here's an example of a solution which we put in place, which helps us improve our mission more effectively, but not necessarily affect any ROI.
First of all, that's amazing that you can offer a service like that to help improve, you know, people in need in these shelters. Do you find that part of the innovation mission or your team's mission is also just to increasingly innovate the Red Cross's mission itself? So one question I can imagine is, what's the differentiation between the Red Cross and what it provides and other charities that might be operating in the same disaster area or other aspects of the mission?
The Red Cross mission at a macro level is not going to be influenced by what the innovation function does, because that's a macro mission of the Red Cross. What we would do is figure out effective ways to be able to deliver that mission. So let me give an example. We provide relief for people who are affected by disasters, but because of climate change, we are seeing that there are increasing amount of disasters, and the time between two disasters are also short. So now here's a situation where we need to help those people. We need to figure out a way by which we can help make the communities more resilient as part of that. So while we are still in that dimension of providing the mission capabilities, there are lots of other things which we could do to effectively deliver that mission. So that's the way we've been looking at innovation, is it's still in the Red Cross mission area.
So it's really supporting and making more effective the delivery of the mission. Is that a fair way?
That's right. Yep.
It?
Yep.
And in that regard, when you do problem definition, do you look at where the mission is failing and say this is a frustration point that we need to address? Or is it really a presumption that American Red Cross is delivering in every way it can and it's just strengthening it? Or is it a bit of a mix?
It's a bit of the mix. And what we would do is talk to a lot of people. We do end-to-end journey mapping. And as part of that, the problems are evident. Some of them are issues which we have in the current processes. Some of them are opportunities which we could not have leveraged by using technology and things like that. So it's a combination of those things.
Technology projects are expensive. How do you think about funding and resource allocation when it comes to some of these projects? Is it just your team and a bit of a ring-fenced budget associated with it? Or do you really embrace and work with the organization in different kinds of ways to deliver these things?
Since we are a nonprofit, we have the opportunity to work with volunteers, with a lot of corporate organizations, tech startups who are willing to help us on a pro bono basis. That allows us to expand the way we look at problem solving. The other thing is we also have a team which helps in problem solving internally. And a combination of all of that helps us scale and look at solutions which might be resource intensive in some cases.
And when you do fund a project, what's the process by which you develop it to ensure that funding has its optimal outcome or impact?
We've tried to make sure that we are focused on the most values. So the way we look at these things is that we've tried to find out what is the core essence of the opportunity which matters the most. And we found that that 80%, if we can laser focus on it and get that delivered, that gives us a good way to launch a product, get feedback, try to see if we are hitting the right areas, and then expand from there. So we always start small and then iterate. That gives us an opportunity to test an idea and then scale effectively once it's successful.
How do you manage the portfolio? Is it all individual projects, or do you look across the portfolio and consider what's working, what's not working? Or is it once a project is set up, it's dedicated to reach its conclusion regardless?
The way we've been looking at this is since our function is very much focused on newer projects, once a problem is solved, once we've seen that we started getting the business benefits out of it, we would transition into a run and maintain mode, which is supported by our business organizations and our IT partners, which take on the solution from an ongoing iteration perspective, and we go on to the next problem. So we've focused on that. The only exception is we've also take on large-scale transformation efforts, which we have chunked into smaller pieces. And in those cases, we would just keep moving up the value chain after we have delivered one chunk and kind of deliver the next chunk. But in those cases, we've always kept each of those discrete projects with discrete business cases. It just ties up together to solve a bigger objective.
How has the innovation agenda been going? Would you say it's successful? It's got challenges? And where are you seeing progress, and where are you seeing some headwind or challenges?
In the last 6 years, I think we have evolved at least 6 times to adapt to what works best. And so I think a journey for innovation is always going to be a mixed bag. Some things work, some things don't work, and will continue to evolve. If I look back at what worked and what didn't work, our velocity was something which worked really well. We've been able to move really quickly and deliver value to the organization in a short period of time. Change management has been tough, and that's something which we continue to work on. We are much better at it than we were before, but we continue to figure out a way to be able to deploy changes faster, deploy new solutions faster, and reduce the time it takes from ideation to launch.
You know, the Red Cross is not a typical organization, right? As you said, it's a nonprofit. Does innovation change in that kind of a context relative to the corporate world, which is perhaps more structured and more financially ROI focused as opposed to ROM, return on mission?
It does. On one hand, people are extremely passionate and they are really committed to the mission. So it really helps a lot. On the other hand, we've had folks who've been doing certain things in a certain way for many years. So change management tends to be tougher. And so that whole process of buy-in has been something which we've been working on. And once you get buy-in, it's really been amplified, and the support we get from the field has been amazing.
What is the approach to buy-in? I mean, many of the folks who are innovating, and that's many who listen to this are struggling to innovate themselves. How do you actually motivate a stakeholder to get behind a project, particularly in a nonprofit context?
We found that a few things work. One is visually communicating an idea has helped a lot. We moved along from PowerPoints to visual concepts of things. We also even did a show and tell once, which worked really well, where we were pitching about 11 projects, which would transform the organization's process. And we kind of did a show and tell in the room for that. The other thing which has worked is finding change agents. There are change agents within the organization, and it could be across all levels. We latch on to change agents and work with them to get change done. The other thing is having a governance process also helps, because senior execs want to help. In general, everybody is bought into the concept of driving change using innovation. Having some structure also helps in driving that process.
As you think about the process and sort of the portfolio, how much of it is for the American Red Cross and how much is it for International Red Cross? And what's the relationship between the two?
Let me talk about the relationship first. The way the Red Cross operates is that each country has its own Red Cross, and it is governed by the rules of that particular entity. So in the American Red Cross, we are completely governed by the charter which was set up for the American Red Cross. Each Red Cross operates differently. So for example, in US, we provide blood services. That may not be the case for some other Red Cross, which may be providing ambulances. For example, the Italian Red Cross provides ambulance services, things like that. We are all connected to the International Federation, and we work together as an international group. So the work which we do predominantly, at least what my team does, is predominantly for the American Red Cross. We would work with international societies as well. There's a lot of sharing which happens within organizations, and there might be opportunities where we can share some of these concepts, but it's more on a sharing basis where we work.
So if you saw something that was quite interesting in Italy or somewhere else in the world, do you have a way to observe it and then share it across borders?
So there's an innovation team within the International Federation, which kind of tries to collate all this innovations happening across different geographies and tries to share knowledge among each areas. We do the same for blood services as well. There is an international group of blood operators which work across the globe where we share ideas. We look at how each organization is using technology and how we can all benefit from them.
What do you think the role of innovation is to increase the quality of the delivery of that service versus just the speed? Because what you talked about earlier was a little bit about speed, and I think implied in that was quality. But is there also a quality measure as well? You know, if you think about around the world just today, is innovation's role part of helping improve the speed, efficiency, and quality of delivering the services in the places that need it most?
Absolutely. When I meant speed, I meant implied that quality is included. So another area, for example, which we're looking at is how can we use advanced analytics and AI to be able to figure out how to help people who are affected by a disaster in a faster and more effective manner so that people who need help receive that help faster and receive the right type of help as well. So there are lots of opportunities of how you can use technology to do that. And that's what we're looking at.
And is the person that you're focused on always the one in need, or is it also all of the first responders and other medical and related providers that are engaged in the delivery of that service?
In this particular context, it would be people who are impacted. Those are our primary constituents, but we partner with other organizations as well. So there are other type of services which could be provided to them. And this is how in the nonprofit world, we call them constituents, because we've got a broad set of constituents we work with. Some we partner with, some we provide direct help to. So it's making sure that depending on the type of use case we're looking at, are we enabling the right users?
And as you think about the use case of the value problem to solve, are you looking at, you said you look at it really holistically. So do you look at it just not from the person affected or the family affected? You also look at it from the delivery and the things that might interfere with the delivery of that as well?
So it would be delivery from a Red Cross perspective. So delivery of services, which we do, the reality is we are not a first responder. So we would probably not be looking into how is a first response happening and all those kind of elements. We focus predominantly on the mission areas of what we deliver, and are we delivering those services properly? Are we connecting and partnering with the partners to be able to be an effective force in the community, things like that?
Yeah, I was thinking more in a shelter construct. I can imagine you've got all sorts of different providers operating inside of a shelter. So to what degree is your mission to help innovate the way they're stood up versus how they operate? Maybe that's a better way to ask the question.
it's both of those. So if something has been provided in a shelter which is run by the Red Cross, then it's our responsibility. You know, service delivery is very important and it's a key part to client experience as well.
So if we back up again and just focus on sort of your group and how it came about, is there a specific mandate of things that your group is charged with delivering, or do you have to create your own problems to solve in portfolio by interviewing, investigating across the organization?
It is mostly creating our own portfolio. So for the last 6 years, we've actually created our own portfolio. Almost 90% of the things we have worked on have been identified by us. But it takes a village to also go through the identification process because everybody adds to something. Somebody might mention a problem, we'll go down the rabbit hole, kind of figure out that it's a bigger problem, things like that.
So that's actually interesting. Necessity is the mother of innovation, I think, is often said. Would you say that that's definitely the case for the American Red Cross and the best innovation happens in the context of response?
Well, it does happen in one area, but keep in mind the Red Cross has multiple lines of services and they all operate differently, right? So in general, that's the ethos of the organization, but the nuances are different for each different business area. So for example, if you look at blood services is a very regulated function. It's documented and it works exactly the way it works. So the nuance in that area is completely different as compared to disaster services, where there's more frequent disasters and things like that.
Do you find that your team and you spend more time in the more dynamic areas or the more stable areas?
We work on where the impact is the highest. So we are very much driven by impact. What we have found is that we've been able to make a lot more impact in our blood services area. Because of its regulated nature, we have a lot of data and a lot of processes in place in which we can piggyback to innovate rapidly. So that's helped us a lot. Other areas, we are trying to look at different ways to look to innovate, but it really is impact-driven. At the end of the day, we want to make sure we are focusing on the right value.
One of the topics we hear a lot about is sort of internal versus external innovation. Given the nature of your innovation model and the assets you have, whether it be data or the processes and volunteers, what's the balance between things you do and generate internally versus how you extend yourself externally to perhaps get others to help co-create these solutions and innovations?
Across the Red Cross, we have a lot of volunteers who help with our functions and with the innovation function as well. We have quite a few volunteers who are very talented folks, some who are data scientists, some who are conversational AI experts. So they help us build solutions as well. Our model is a combination of internal and external, and so to do with other tech startups. So Microsoft, for example, has been partnering with us. Amazon has been partnering with us. So it's a combination for us. And also, me and a lot of my team members come from consulting organizations. So we have an external view of it because at the end of the day, there are many industries out there and many industries have solved many problems. A lot of it could be applicable to us. So we are constantly looking at which industry has solved what kind of problem and how can we leverage that for internal use cases.
So other than return on mission or in those cases where it's return on impact, what are the other metrics that you use to measure your progress and your performance?
Those are the main ones. The other ones are velocity. We sort of look at velocity internally as well. A big area where I've not yet quantified it, but it's about, are we making transformational changes? So which are those areas where there are the most opportunities and how are we trying to make transformational changes in those areas? It's not a quantifiable metric, but that's something which I use to look at where to spend most of our time and attention.
And as you do that, how do you think of the setup of your team? You mentioned this sort of part consultancy and part startup. And also you've got all these volunteers as well. So what actually is the composition of your team?
So we have product managers, data scientists, developers, leaders who look at different areas. So it's a combination of folks. But the great thing about the team is they are all super talented and they all have tenacity and ability to deal with ambiguity. So while each person might have domain expertise in one area, they're all sort of athletes, so they can kind of swing across different domains. And that's helped us scale and look at problems differently because it helps us look at things a lot more differently and scale and do more faster.
Do you think innovation in a context like the American Red Cross is easier or more difficult than it is in other contexts like a corporation?
I think it is more difficult. Considering I spent the first 12 years in a corporate context, as a consultant, I found that things were a lot more easier. Also because a consulting organization is bought in typically when there is already buy-in for an idea. So that makes it a little easier. In here, my team is identifying the problem, getting buy-in, implementing it, launching it. So there's a whole life cycle, and then looking at things which may not make sense now, but identifying those opportunities and trying to get buy-in for those two.
So Sajid, you mentioned AI a number of times throughout the conversation. What does the application of AI in the American Red Cross look like?
We've been looking at AI across the spectrum. So far, we have deployed around 25 custom AI solutions. They vary from just conversational AI chatbots, which we launched like 4 or 5 years ago, to a lot of machine learning and deep learning models. And then most recently, we've been doing a lot of work with generative AI. The bulk of our value is in machine learning related opportunities and mostly in our blood services space, where we have found that we could use AI to be able to solve discrete problems. And I'll give an example of one of them. We collect about 5.4 million donations a year. And so we have a lot of blood drives. And it's difficult for us to predict how many people will show up for a blood drive. So it's difficult for us to predict how many people we should send to a blood drive. So we have this constant problem of you send more people, then you have kind of have an optimization issue. You send less people, you have a customer experience issue because you have long lines. And that is the first use case we worked on. We delivered an AI model which actually predicts how many people will show up with a fairly good level of accuracy.
And do you find that since you've delivered the first one successfully, that there's a greater interest in applying that technology more broadly? Or is it still an uphill convincing argument every single time you want to start one of these?
It's better, but we still have some ways to go before we achieve quick transition. And it's particularly because it's an AI solution. So it's a black box, right? You can't see how it works. And getting buy-in on something which is a black box tends to be a little tough. So that's what we've been working on to kind of change the whole process of how we can get buy-in for these kind of solutions.
Do you find that the current efforts with generative AI are therefore more difficult, given that the black box has gotten even murkier in some of these use cases with the large language models? Or has it been something that's been an unlock for the organization as they experience the natural language interfaces to data?
It's been different. So for generative AI, while we have folks who can use it for doing their day-to-day work, we've been looking at it for solving a discrete activity. So for example, can we use generative AI to help with course material? We don't know. We're just exploring that. So there's all discrete objectives. And so we found that it depends really on those change agents and who are interested in partnering with us. But yeah, it's been a different process.
Innovation in the end of the day is about defining the future. What should we expect the future of the American Red Cross to look like?
It looks amazing. You know, from my perspective, I see this whole combination of technology forces which are coming together. And if I look at it 10, 15 years down the lane, things might be totally different. Like, for example, now this is just me speaking because I'm an eternal optimist, but think of in our blood services area, we collect 40% of the nation's blood supply. But if you look at research happening in genomics and liquid biopsies, they're beginning to use liquid biopsies or blood samples to be able to detect cancer. Could there be a time in the future where, as part of your blood donation, you get screened for cancer and get to know about early stage cancer in advance? There are lots of possibilities. I feel the future is amazing.
And do you have labs and other technical services in and around in your blood supply organization that would do that kind of research? Or is that an opportunity to partner?
These are things which kind of go beyond what we define as our mission area right now. So it's all hypothetical, right? But while we have labs, it's not something which we may invest in. It will just be a partnership model of sorts.
And are you actively scoping out these sort of future possibilities in addition to delivering today?
Not this type of future opportunity. So our vision area tends to be now more 5 years, 6 years down the lane. This is something which is more of a game-changing thing. And it's going to impact all blood services all over the world. We don't know how it will happen. I don't know how real this is too, right? So this is more like as a personal optimist, I like to think of it this way.
Well, perhaps some of our listeners are inspired by your words, have some ideas of how to either validate or progress some of these solution spaces that you're not working on yet, and will come and contact you as a result. With that in mind, Sajid, I just want to thank you for your time and everything you're doing for the American Red Cross. Innovation sounds alive and well. While there might be a long road to go, it sounds like what you're doing is having absolute impact and helping the mission for sure. So thank you for your time. Really appreciate your thoughts and perspectives.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. You can find other episodes in our innovation series via the link in today's show notes and by searching for McKinsey's Committed Innovator in your favorite podcast player. We welcome your feedback and ideas for future podcasts. Our email is itsr@mckinsey.com. That stands for Inside the Strategy Room. You can also share your ratings and reviews on any podcast player, with many thanks to everyone who's already done so. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to subscribe, you can follow our weekly series on any podcast player, and there you can also access our entire library of previous episodes. We also offer an Inside the Strategy Room podcast collection page available at mckinsey.com/ITSR, where you can easily browse all of our prior podcasts across 6 major themes and access written transcripts of all those conversations. Finally, if you'd like to automatically receive our latest publications and insights, we encourage you to sign up for email alerts on our insights page at mckinsey.com and to connect with us on LinkedIn at the McKinsey Strategy and Corporate Finance Practice page. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to having you join us again next week inside the Strategy Room.